One of my favorite subjects, learning differences. That's the way that it is described by our guest, Marin Angelotti. Marin Angelotti is a reading therapist and ADD coach. But you got into this because of your own kids.
I sure did.
That's a great way to get into it.
Love every minute of it as well, Rich.
You do?
I do.
Why do you love every minute of it?
Because there's never a dull moment. I have to know that. And also, when you have children with this learning difference, it challenges you to be a better parent. That's one of the big things
that's
that I
true.
Love.
That's mm-hmm. true. It's like mm-hmm. neon lights saying, help, help, pay attention. There's no attention deficit on your part.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like your using the term reading differences, learning differences, because that's really a better term.
It is.
It's not quite so much of a term of a malady.
It's not a disability. It's a learning difference.
And that's what's important to present.
Mm-hmm. God created our kids perfectly. They were never given a disability. They were just created in His image and His likeness. So how they learn...
God's dyslexic?
You betcha. And He loves it. If we didn't have these differences, they wouldn't make us unique and the people that we are.
Now, you were dyslexic yourself.
I sure am.
Are you still dyslexic?
Once you're dyslexic, you're always dyslexic.
It's just like being an alcoholic.
Exactly. Yeah. But
I'm
learning.
I'm a recovering dyslexic.
That's right. You don't recover. You learn how to work with it, and we can remediate it. And that's a word that many people don't really understand. And parents have to know that, yes, you do need to remediate these differences. And the wonderful thing that we're finding out is that neuroscience and genetics are now marrying into education. So we now know scientifically that dyslexia actually comes about in the 6th month of gestation.
Really?
So we know that that is a hereditary factor, and we know that at that 6 month of gestation, that is imprinted in that individual for life, but it is not a death sentence, and it is not something to be feared. It is something to be take a hold of and learn how to work with it, and once you have that remediation behind you, you have many gifts that are hidden that society doesn't know about.
Okay, well, there's so much I want to talk about, okay. But I want to talk about your story real quick. How did you discover you were dyslexic? What did you experience first from dyslexia?
For myself, I had to work my tail off in school. Everybody else seemed to be floating by, but I had to do that extra amount of studying to get the same grade that everybody else did. And thought, I don't know why this is so hard, but I just knew that's my story. So I didn't think of, oh, poor me. It was just, that's the way it was.
You just saw the difference.
But I did notice once I got out of college and got my first job, I noticed that my boss would come to me, and that was in the day before we had computers, but we won't be saying how old I am.
Okay.
And once I started typing, I kept making these errors. I would omit or add letters or words to sentences, and the boss would say, hey, do you notice you do that? And I said, no, I didn't ever knew that. So once she brought it,
that's the first time.
That was the first time.
Because you didn't do computers in college,
apparently.
Didn't
do it. Yeah, yeah. No way.
That does tell how old.
So I, oh, now we're not saying that, Rich. So that was, for me, the big eye-opener, like, oh, you're kidding. So that just made me be aware that I had to go back and always reread everything and make sure someone else was there to look at my stuff before I ever turned anything
in. So that
in.
Didn't stop you. It just said, mm-hmm. here's an additional step I need to take to make sure that I'm proofread.
Right. And it was an awareness,
mm-hmm.
most definitely for myself. Mm. And the neat thing it was a big aha moment, was that I read the first book for enjoyment when I was about 24.
Mm-hmm.
I know
that
feeling.
Where
you just pick a book mm-hmm. up and you go, oh my goodness, I read it from cover to cover and it was 500 pages. Who
yeah.
knew?
Yeah.
So that was a big indicator too. And I had no idea what this was all going to play out in my life at the end of the day. But again, God knew His wisdom.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so here we are.
Well, getting back to what we're talking about, that's very important when you're dealing with children who are under this umbrella of ADD, ADHD, ADHD. Mm-hmm. Dyslexia. What are some of the other things under that umbrella?
Under that umbrella, and most of the society would like to say umbrella, it's ADHD. And 90% of the people listening don't even know what that is, mm-hmm. other than it's a hyper kid jumping around in the backseat.
Right.
Actually, it does include dyslexia and dyscalculia. And
what's dyscalculia?
Dyscalculia is a fancy name for saying you're terrible at math.
Oh.
And you don't know how to balance
that
checkbook.
I just found out a name for what I am.
It's a crazy name, but it is definitely a learning difference. And then you have dysgraphia, and those are for all of our doctors out there that have terrible handwriting, and we can't figure out what
the heck
they're doing.
Okay, now this is getting entirely too personal.
So there are many, many areas of learning differences, and it is important for us to understand what they are.
And the important thing is to understand that those really are differences in wiring. Mm-hmm. And do you even refer to them as disabilities?
No, I never do.
Okay.
I
don't either.
Mm-hmm. Never do.
Because the flip side is that all the people who have these horrid conditions have gifts.
They sure do.
That seem to be associated with that kind of
wiring.
And that's why
I'm excited. Let me tell you what some of these gifts are.
Okay.
Many of the dyslexics can see things three-dimensionally in their mind before they do it. Let me give you an example.
Like, you know what?
Many, many of our dyslexic population are ER doctors and our surgeons. There are policemen. There are firemen.
That's a little frightening.
They are, but
In for a kidney and I went out with a liver. That doesn't.
The good news is, before a surgeon even takes that knife, they can three-dimensionally look at that organ.
Oh, okay.
And they know exactly where they're going to cut, and they have it all signed, sealed, and delivered before they walk into.
So they have
room.
An ability to go there.
That's
before they get there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so that's the gift. And to me, I'd rather have a dyslexic any day of the week operate on me than somebody who's like, let's just see what's going on when I get in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these are the gifts, and if we can embrace them as a society, can you imagine how many more would come out of the woodwork? I have one of those.
Well, that's the bad part, which I'm sure is your burden too, is that when these start presenting themselves, at least it's been, the schools are more in tune with it now, but when they start presenting themselves, mm-hmm. you are classed as a problem. Mm-hmm. Or worse, you're classed as somebody who just doesn't try hard enough. Mm-hmm. If you just try harder, you mm-hmm. know, little Jimmy's smart, he just doesn't try hard mm-hmm. enough.
We
My
hear that
goodness,
all
what
the
a horrible
time.
Label that is to put mm-hmm. on somebody mm-hmm. who can't help it.
I'd like to switch that whole mindset to think about our teachers. Our teachers go into the teaching profession because they've got great compassion. And most teachers are very good at what they do. But most teachers have to remember that out of a class of 20 students, they will have 5 students that are undiagnosed ADD, ADHD, or dyslexia. So when they actually start teaching that class and we see those traits come out, we're suddenly bothered as a teacher. That child is making my life a little bit uncomfortable. So, Johnny, you better fit into my mainstream.
The problem
and that is
Johnny's not fitting in with the norm.
Exactly. So we as teachers have to flip our mindset to say, Johnny's not learning. How am I needing to teach that child so that he's getting what I'm teaching? And as I go into schools and across the country and do speeches and lectures, I always hear the same thing. Teachers will say, I don't have time for that. I've got 20 other students.
Yeah, even if I have compassion for it, what
can
I do about
it? You know
what?
I just don't have time for this, and they need to either go to another school or move on. When in fact, good teaching practices would be, if we taught to that population, the rest of that class would learn a lot more because we would have to learn by way of all of our senses, by touch, taste, feel, everything, rather than simply lecture.
I've never heard that before.
So if we turn the tables.
So orienting your teaching to those special needs is
not
going to be
needs,
a disadvantage to the rest
different.
Of the classes.
Exactly.
Ah,
so suddenly,
like
my goodness, you know what? It's not the problem. My thinking is the problem. And if you're a good teacher, it will come out and the kids in that whole class will simply love what you're doing. So it's something that we need to rethink, especially in the area of our primary school kids.
One of the biggest things that I like to do when I talk with somebody like you, even though there's more visibility of all this than has ever been in my lifetime, there are still a lot of parents and other people who love a child who has one of these descriptions in his or her life, and it's not been diagnosed as that yet. It's still being treated as this person doesn't care, this person doesn't mm-hmm. try hard enough, this person needs mm-hmm. to get his or her act together. When we come back, I want you to give some symptoms, I guess, some evidences. If it's not a malady, it's not a symptom, but what are some of the signs of what we're talking about that people would go, aha, maybe we need to start thinking seriously about this. We'll talk about that. We're visiting with Maren Angelotti. She is a reading therapist, an ADD coach. She's the author of the book Of Different Minds. I like that title because that's what we're describing. Of Different Minds, Seeing Your ADHD Child Through the Eyes of God. We will continue.
You're listening to Talk from the Heart I'm Bill McCormick with the Crawford Stand. Don Crawford, president of Crawford Broadcasting Company, continues his discussion of the recommendations of Nina Olson, the official taxpayer advocate at the IRS.
Nina Olson unfortunately stopped short of recommending a flat tax. That, my friends, fairly determined and universally applied, is the answer, in my opinion. A flat tax would do away with all deductions, all exemptions, all preferences, all loopholes, and the insane additions and amendments which occur by the hundreds every year. Away with them. Olson is one right-thinking advocate, and I applaud her and her efforts. In fact, she is so right-thinking that I will bet the farm Congress will pay absolutely no attention whatsoever to her recommendations. Olson merely advocates for us, we the people. So why should Congress bother, especially if we don't step up and make demands? We wait every year in a passive way, we the people do, for 100 senators and 435 congressmen and a president bent on increasing taxes any way possible to take our money. And they seemingly do it with delight. Why would this or any other Congress listen to her if they don't listen to us?
And tomorrow, Mr. Crawford offers the ultimate solution. Destroy the tax system and start over. I'm Bill McCormick.
Beginning Sunday, May 3rd, you can join Stand to Reason for 3 full hours of live, artful, tactical Christian wisdom on the air and streaming live at KBRT740.com. Stand to Reason will begin at 2 o'clock Pacific time, beginning Sunday, May 3rd, right here on AM 740 KBRIGHT.
This is Talk from the Heart with Rich Bueller. To write to Rich, send email to talk@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. That's talk@CrawfordBroadcasting.com.
This is Talk from the Heart. My name is Rich Bueller. We're talking about learning differences with Marin Angelotti. She's a reading therapist, ADD coach, author of the book of Different Minds. Okay, I always like to do sort of what are the signs? Because there's always people listening who are saying, wow, that's me, or wow, that's my child or my grandchild. So let's talk a little bit about what some of the things are. That.
Let's first look at it as what it looks like as a toddler.
Okay.
And then we'll go for middle school, high school, and then we'll talk about adults. So our little toddlers, for those moms out there that have all the kids in the back seat and they're all going crazy and you're thinking they're all ADD, just make them calm down. How we know that is we want to think of an acronym called CLAP, and that would be C for coordination, L for language, A for attention, and P for perception. So you think of the coordination. All little ones are always tripping over things, and they're just trying to get their sea legs about them. But when a child has to fall over things constantly, or they run into things with great force, or they're overly aggressive with their brother and sister, they could be having some real hard problems with their sensory integration problems. That's a big aha moment for learning differences coming around.
I don't know how many toddlers have that problem, but I still have that problem. I am known in my family as the person who bumps into things and people and anything.
And the clumsy. That's the
right.
Clumsy one. That's a big, big one right there.
Yep.
Then we think of language. How many times does that cute little toddler coming up to you saying, ga, ga, goo, goo, and we're at age 18 months to 2 years, and they can't seem to get what they want understood by people in their surrounding. We really don't think that's cute. I was a parent that thought it was a cute thing, and don't do what I did, because that's not the way to go. Make sure by the time they're 18 months, 2 years, that they really have language that everybody else can understand. Then we move to attention. Well, of course, no toddler is a good attention span, but when we're talking attention, we want to make sure that they have at least 2 minute attention span. Our students or our children that we work with, I mean, that attention span is a nightmare. And they typically do not nap. That's another big one. When they're up by six and they don't go to bed until midnight, you know that you probably have something ahead of you. The next one would be perception. And this is an interesting one. Many times little toddlers don't want to share, but they all, if there's a problem, they're going to perceive that everybody's out to get them, that everything's a problem outside their world instead of, hey, well, maybe I can learn to share. So those are the things to look for in the toddler years.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And then we jump into the middle school and the high school years. And have you ever noticed anybody near you that likes to shake their leg, bounce their leg, and likes to fidget with
like
everything?
I'm doing
yeah,
right
like
now.
You're doing right now. But that can be an indicator too of attention, and the brain is actually going to sleep, and it knows that it needs to attend, so it will cause the body to fidget. And that's why our kids in middle school or even upper elementary will fidget and they'll fall out of their seats. They can't sit still. They're up and down and all around. So the brain is going to sleep. So what it does is the brain says, time to attend. We have to do our job. So it makes it fidget and go crazy. And that's another big indicator.
So that's a response to the going to
sleep. Stimuli in the brain. Exactly. The brain knows that we have a job to do.
I just threw my pen down on the... I'm really enjoying this. I'm not falling
asleep. You're learning.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then for our adults, it's real hard sometimes for the adult ADD to stick with a job for more than 2 years at a time. They become very bored. They want that high stimulation situation. And many times, unfortunately, the adult ADD, the serotonin levels are very low in the brain if they've never been diagnosed. And the first drug of choice to boost those serotonin levels will be alcohol. And the second drug of choice will be cocaine. And unfortunately, we know that cycle, and it's going to be addiction. So we want to make sure that if you have any idea that you might have something going on, please go get the proper testing so you know what you're dealing
with. Where do you go for the proper testing, and what's the proper testing?
Where do we go? Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you here in
California. Well, I don't mean it specifically, but what type of
you want to have an educational battery of testing, and normally you would get that with a psychiatrist that specializes in this area. Or you would like, if it's possible, a SPECT imaging, which is, you're very fortunate being here in Southern California. The Amen Clinic here, right down the street, will do that, where we can actually see the organ for the first time, and it will actually show that the blood flow is not going through these areas of the brain, and it will show the ADD.
Yeah.
So it's not a made-up thing.
I know Dr. Amen. He gave me a scan. My head looked like a garage.
Are the lights on and people home there?
not very many places.
That's great. So those are really great tools. And once you have that information, then you know, okay, this is the route we need to go. And either get the remediation, and if you should need medication, go for it. But get on the ball and don't let it drag on.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure somebody will ask, so I'll ask it ahead of time, and that is Ritalin. You know, when you hear about ADHD, you hear about Ritalin very close thereafter.
We were talking earlier about this, and I said, if you were to see a pie chart of learning differences, medication would be a sliver of it. But we as a society love to hyper-focus on that. And unfortunately, a little bit of information can be very damaging, and the media loves to just get on that. So let's clear
That's probably because half the media covering the story are
ADD.
ADD. Yeah.
So let's clear some things up. Medication is simply a tool. And we know that the serotonin, dopamine levels are out of sync. And if those are not firing properly, you can't function properly. So if you were a diabetic and the society said, oh, insulin's a horrible thing, and maybe you should try it, maybe you shouldn't, well, half of the population would be dead or walking around like zombies. So same thing with this. But the proper thing you need to do is get a right doctor to give you the right dosage. And unfortunately, and I was that parent, that you would go to your pediatrician. And we give so much trust to our pediatricians. And not to knock them, they're good. But in this area, they don't have the training. So the drug rep comes to that doctor's office and they say, here's my samples. And so then mom comes in and says, Johnny's having a hard time. Doctor says, here's Ritalin or Adderall, give it a try. Well, unfortunately, that's where we're getting the bad rap. So a parent needs to educate themselves about it and then find an educational psychiatrist that works simply with this population or a neurologist so they will handle just the right dosages.
If they're needed at all.
But one of the things
that I'm impressed with is how many people who specialize in dealing with ADD and ADHD, they're wise in including medication, as you said, one of the tools. But they're also pretty confident that that's not the only thing you need to pay attention to. And a lot of them attempt to do things without medication, do nutrition and so forth.
Exercise is our big, big tool because we know that we can boost those serotonin levels and dopamine by exercise. If you do 2 hours of strenuous exercise, then you've got 2 good hours for studying.
Oh, sure, with an attention span of 30 seconds. How do you do 2 hours of strenuous exercise?
Well, 30 seconds of this exercise, 30 seconds of that exercise.
Okay, I got it. It's 86 different exercises.
You got it, whatever it takes.
I never thought about that. That works. We're visiting with Maren Angelotti, author of the book of Different Minds. She is a reading therapist, ADD coach. She has children who have learning differences. That's what propelled her to become educated and trained in this field. And if you'd like to talk with her, I don't want to hog all the time. Let's open the calls. If you have enough attention span to stay on the line, give us a call. 1-800-227-5278. This is a very important subject. It is one of my favorite subjects because parents and grandparents and anybody who loves kids, teachers, can help kids get set free by understanding this stuff in the right way. 1-800-227-5278. We do have open lines.
You're listening to Talk from the Heart.
Today's Champions isn't a title. It's a way of life. Hear inspiring stories of people making a difference today. Hosted by Ed Barron and heard exclusively here on K-Bright, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m.
Our good friends at Alhambra Dental, I've been telling you about their dentures, mini dentures. Look into that. But one of the biggest reasons for going to Alhambra Dental is if you hate pain.
You're a man who's fearless in every area of life.
Do it now. Do the chopper, get down.
You've rescued small children from burning buildings, saved the world from nuclear attacks, and done so with a 5 o'clock shadow. But every man has his weakness, and yours is the dentist. Not to worry. Dr. Chow of Alhambra Dental understands your fears and worries about dental offices and caters to cowards, superheroes like you. Learn more at alhabradental.com. Or, for more immediate assistance, call 8888-NEW-DDS. That's 8888-NEW-DDS. Alhambra Dental, coming soon to a mouth near you.
This is Talk from the Heart with Rich Bueller. To write to Rich, send email to talk@crawfordbroadcasting.com. That's talk@crawfordbroadcasting.com.
I am holding in my hand a picture of a wonderful little girl. Her name is Maria Paula. She is 8 years old. She lives in Honduras. And look at that. Look at that picture. Isn't that a good, beautiful picture? Precious little gal. She's our World Vision child for this hour. And I want you to seriously consider sponsoring her. $30 a month, about a buck a day. And it will make all the difference in the world in her community. She's growing up in a poor rural area, western region of Honduras. She's in primary school. She says she enjoys drawing and she likes playing with dolls. She's in pretty good health. But as always, I encourage you to not only support her and to help her family and her village, but to pray for her in particular. Diane and I are World Vision Child sponsors. We have been for 5 years, and we encourage you to join us in that. Give us a call here at K-Bride at 1-800-227-2337, 1-800-227-2337, and tell the person who answers that you would like to sponsor Maria Paula. I will look forward to hearing the good news that you would like to do that. We also talked earlier today about a precious little girl, a little blonde-haired girl with rosy, rosy red cheeks named Fizzanella, and she lives in Albania. I love the thought that you can penetrate Albania with your support and your prayers. So give us a call and become a World Vision Child sponsor. Boy, the line's filled up. Let's go to the phones. Lori in Escondido, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. My son, he's 10 years old, and we're doing a move, interstate move, and he has a lot of anxiety right now. And the I just don't know how to handle that with on top of his ADHD.
Well, here we go. What was your question?
Wait a minute. Let's get our – we have no microphone here, Tim. Her microphone's not on. Okay, try it now.
Hello.
There we go.
There we go. What was your first name again?
Lori.
Lori. Tell me, are you a little anxious about that move as well?
I'm actually really excited. The rest of the family's doing really excited, and he's just been nothing but – angry and argumentative.
You have to remember in his world that he needs simple routine over and over, and he anticipates that everything will be out of control, and that's scaring him to death.
Yeah.
So you need to simplify for him and only tell him the information as needed. If you tell him we're going to this new environment and we're going to do this, this, and this, he can't process all of that. You need to be as simple as you can with it. So deal with what he needs to know today and make his world simplified. And when you transition from one thing to another, make sure you tell him and give him periods of time to process what you're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Lori, also, how soon are you moving?
About 3 months.
Oh, 3 months. You got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Have him assemble sort of his little world that he's taking with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know that everything's going to move. He knows that everything's going to move. But assemble his little world. Let him start assembling the stuff that you're going to take on the airplane or in the car, however you're moving, and that he's going to take and put into his new bedroom. Help him assemble his world.
Okay.
Because his world's being totally dismantled, and you don't realize, unless you're ADHD, how much that just leaves you adrift.
You feel totally that you're in outer space, and with nothing under you, nothing over you, and there's nobody to catch you.
That's right.
So that's really important. Maybe
do you know what house you're moving to?
No, we don't. We've been actually showing all the kids, you know, this is an option, this is an option, and trying to show them pictures of the area, and we're moving with another family, so he will know people there, and we have family up in the area that he's already close to, so we're hoping that actually really helps,
yeah,
too, because
he has nothing to anticipate, he has nothing to envision as to what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So assemble whatever is going to be his space.
Okay.
And have him choose what it's going to be. Even lay it out. You know,
he
this
can
is going to be over in this
drawing.
Corner. He can mm-hmm. make a drawing. This is going to be in this corner. This is going to be in this corner. That's what your bedroom's going to look like, or whatever you can commit to. Don't do it if you can't commit to that. But he needs that.
Let him have some say in that process. Otherwise, he will feel I'm out of control.
That's right.
And they need to have that. They need to know that they have some control.
Okay.
That's
okay,
great.
We'll try that.
Bless you. That's a great one. Heather in Walnut, hi, you're on the air with Marin Angelotti.
Hello. I have a granddaughter who's a 10th grader in high school. She cannot get math. She just does not understand it, even with tutoring. So is there some place in the Inland Valley we can look to for help, or how do we find it?
The best thing that you can do is call the National Dyslexia Association here in Newport Beach.
Okay.
And they will direct you to therapists or whoever they need for her particular learning difference. And especially for math, and especially in that high school realm, if they have not been able to use the manipulatives, and meaning to the actual things to see and touch, her perception for the abstract is just not ready to take on that abstract yet.
Okay.
So she needs to be able to see and touch those manipulatives to understand that concept.
Okay.
And if you get with that organization, they will tell you who's available in your area.
Okay. Do we have a phone number, or I need to look it up?
Yeah, I wish I had it on me. I don't. It's the National Dyslexic Association in Newport Beach. And the individual to ask for would be Joan McNichols.
If I can read my scribbles here, because I'm kind of dyslexic and I have a terrible time with spelling.
That's all right. I will be happy to say it again if you'd like.
That's all right. It's going to be very easy to find. I'm sure you can Google it or just call directory assistance. Okay. It's going to be very easy to find.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. We're talking about learning differences, commonly known as things like dyslexia and ADD and AD. What's the difference between ADD and ADHD?
ADD is inattentive. You have someone that's with you and they're not. They're with you and they're not. And you'll see it when somebody can focus with you and then you can kind of see them drift off and their mind is working so fast. It's like a train going down a track and they can see everything out the window, but they can't make that train stop.
My wife, Diane, is listening. Diane, don't listen. Okay, continue.
And then your ADHD is you have all of that train going, but you also have the activity of the body where it can't stop. So it can be a frustration.
So ADD is more internal, and ADHD can have a lot of body stuff
involved. Exactly.
Okay. Are they kind of considered the same, though? I mean,
we put them under one umbrella just for the sake of nobody wants to write all those letters. I mean, that's really it.
Yeah, well,
they combined it and said, let's just put ADHD for everything.
Yeah.
And we'll be good to go.
Okay. We have open lines, 1-800-227-5278, 1-800-227-5278. We're visiting with Maren Angelotti, who she's a reading therapist, ADD coach, has graduate degrees in all this stuff, and is the author of the book of Different Minds. It's a very valuable opportunity for you to talk about this. You know, and we were talking about kids because that's where we spot it, and that's who we're concerned about. There's a lot of adults listening who still don't know that this is their diagnosis, and it can change their lives.
Yes, it can, and unfortunately, it's a hereditary situation. So as an adult, you have these kids, and most often is they will find adults figure out they have it when their kids are diagnosed.
Yeah. And then at least you got somebody else in the family who has the same thing. That's very comforting.
Unfortunately, it's not a comfort because many of the adults don't want to deal.
Well, that's
so
true.
The kids, I was fine. I outgrew it and look how great I am.
See, I'm adopted and I'm very ADD, probably was ADHD at some time. Maybe I still am a little bit. I don't know. But ask my wife. But was I adopted into a family that had this? No.
And many of our adopted children do have that. And the kids that we work with, it's a big population. Another big population are twins. That's a big deal that we know that if there's a twin, chances are they want one or both will have that.
Yeah.
That's something
really
to be aware of.
Really?
It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
So.
And I found my birth family. And guess what I found?
Were they all ADD?
ADD all over the landscape.
I want to give you a story, Rich, that's going to be awesome that you're going to love.
Okay.
Think about this. We have Christopher Columbus, right?
Right.
Major ADD. He could see the big picture.
Right.
He could see, hey, I am going to make an adventure. You know, I'm going to go see this new world. So what does he do? He goes and finds all the other
guys that want
to see great things.
Uh-huh.
So he gets the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and they climb all aboard, and every one of them are ADD. So what do? They ship them off, and we all come to the new world. But think about it. All of those individuals that could see the big picture and had the vision to take the risk and do something great have been the founders of the United States of America. And what have we not done but change the world through our technologies, through our science? We take the risk and we are the best at what we can do. And so if we look at other parts of the world where people do the same thing over and over again, they don't get the job done.
My golly, you make me proud to be an American.
That's where I'm going.
You know what? When I found my uncle, I have an uncle who's an 80-year-old me. And we get together and we share funny stories about being ADD. He had the one that took the cake. He said, I was going to go hunting down in South America. He's kind of a wealthy guy. I was going hunting down in South America, and I ran to the airport. It was a little bit late, you know. Ran in and put my bags in, and we all got on the airplane. Now we're in the air. We're sitting around having drinks and talking. And he says, I just realized when I drove my car up, I drove it up to the loading zone, and I ran my bags in, and I got to talking with my friends and forgot that I'd left my car in the loading zone. So he said, they're all razzing him because he's well known for this. And then he thinks a little bit more. He says, you know what? He said, I think I left the keys in the car in the loading zone. So they're razzing him about that. And he gets to thinking about it a little bit more. And he gets this look on his face. He says, I left the stupid motor runnings in the loading zone with the keys in the car. He really did. He got distracted by his friends, excited about the trip, left the car with the engine Typical. Running in the loading zone. Mm-hmm. It ran out of gas. They towed it away. It was fine, but it was still a funny story. Ramon in Anaheim, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I got a quick question. I have a fourth grader son, and he's been having a problem with the reading and comprehension, but he's very smart in math and science and things like that. Is there something I need to worry about it down the line for him?
I would see if you could get him tested, and the reason that I say that is when you said he's really good in math and science, but he's struggling in reading and comprehension. That is an indicator for dyslexia, and that's something that you want to get on ASAP. The brain is really plastic, or what we call pliable, from the age that your son is now, but it will close off probably around 11, 12, and then it will come again where we can be doing some remediation probably in 15, 16, and then it closes off for life. So you want to make sure that we can get in there and do the remediation that he needs, because if he's going to be an awesome scientist and an awesome mathematician, he has to be able to read. So definitely get it checked out.
Okay, can I have the phone number again, if you don't mind? Appreciate it.
What phone number?
For the dyslexia.
Oh, you know what? We didn't give it. We'll look it up. Do you have it, Bob? Okay. We've got Megan's husband, Bob, is here. Okay, it's area 949-642-7303. 949-642-7303.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling. Let's go to Maureen in Culver City. Hi, Maureen.
How are you?
Fine.
Hi. I'm a teacher, of course, in juvenile court schools, where mostly everybody is ADD, ADHD.
Yeah, that's right. Go to the local prison, you'll find ADD City.
That's right. All of our undiagnosed that never got a chance.
That's right.
Right. Because nobody knows how to deal with them, I guess, is where you put them at. But my question is environment-wise, because I've been working with these kids for maybe about 10 years. And one thing I felt like is, I just felt like maybe why do you live in cities with 3 million people where you're overly stimulated? Maybe you could, the countryside is the place for you. I don't know. But environment, I had to alter the environment a lot and make it smaller and quieter for kids with ADD, ADHD. Is that something you tell your clients?
Yes, you definitely need to do that. And as teachers, if any teachers are out there, remember, it's not a great thing to clutter your classrooms with everything from the kitchen sink hanging from the ceilings and all that. You have to remember an ADD, ADHD child they'll observe everything in the same intensity. So if you're trying to have a lesson that you're teaching them, they are listening to that lesson with the same intensity that they're looking at a butterfly on the windowsill and that neat drawing you put up on the wall. So how much of that are they processing? It's going to be crazy. So make sure that it's simplified. You did the right thing.
Can you say that to administrators? Because
yes, just bring
less is best. I tell my administrators all the time, less is sometimes best, because I want them to get the depth of it more than the breadth of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to have all this crap up. And
that's
I think if I had ADHD, I'd be cross-eyed in this
That's
world.
Right. And you're actually adding to the stimuli, and it's just causing more problem than it's worth. So if your administrators need help, tell them to give me a call.
Okay.
Thank you. You have a website or something we can give later? Okay. Have your pencil ready, because we'll give her a website. Every time we talk about this, somebody comments on how many people in various circles of concern are ADD or ADHD, you know, like in crime or in addiction or anything like that. Is anybody taking that serious? Anybody going into the prisons and doing diagnosis and treatment of this stuff?
Let me just give you one amazing statistic. We know from World Health Organization that it's anywhere between 3 to 7% of the population in the schools have a learning difference. But when we say that, that's in the public schools. We have no statistic for homeschool population or private school population. So we know that this is a lot bigger problem than anybody has any idea of. And of course, we're just trying now and dealing with the populations that we know in the traditional school settings, but we haven't even begun to tap into the prison system or any of that. The field that I'm in now, we are like the cutting edge. We have learned more about the brain in the last 10 years than we have in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
So we're just on this cusp and it's happening. So if anybody's trying to learn a new profession, this is it.
Yeah, it really
is.
And
it is. And can you imagine if we were able to take what we're learning and then put it into that population, it would be awesome.
I'll need to come up with a foundation or something that would do that. Anita in Diamond Bar, hi, you're on the air with Marin.
Hi, Rich. Marin?
Yes.
Marin, hi. Yes, this is Anita, and I'm 65 years old, and I've always had problems with math. But before you get to that, you did talk about that already a little bit. I have a question. People that have these problems, do any of them suffer from severe anxiety, which I have, and I have fibromyalgia, and the anxiety really is tormenting.
Mm-hmm. It is, and yes, it is. They're all kind of intermingled, and it's so interesting that you should say that. Many of the students and the adults that I get to work with, it's a privilege, but it also breaks my heart because I see that anxiety that they suffer with. And think about it. If you have been trying your whole life to fit into this round peg, but you're the square, how anxious can you become? It's overwhelming. And especially at your age, you've lived this life. You've done the very best you can. You needed to be applauded. Because you're putting more energy in your world than most people put in half of what they do. So you have to understand, anxiety is the underlying. First, you have the learning difference. You've been coping, and now the anxiety is taking over.
Well, how do you know how much is something that in the brain?
Yes.
And the environment, because I did not have a good, healthy environment. My mm-hmm. mother was paranoid. My mother was mentally ill. She was in bed. My mm-hmm. mother did not get out of bed and function. Had a good father that did the best he could. So how do you know how much is from the environment and possibly something going on in the brain, or are the two together?
The two are really together because you are wired a little bit differently. But two, in a generation before, nobody really understood ADHD in the way we do now. And many times if ADHD is undiagnosed and it gets to be the person's like around 20, 21, we do see episodes of bipolar that come out of that. So if you are never diagnosed and then you see a parent like you're describing is dealing with severe mental illness, I bet you bipolar it could be a part of that. So you may have had those predispositions.
Are you saying that I could be
bipolar? Oh, heavens no. No. But I'm saying you had a mom that was in a situation that could have been that way. And here you've coped the best that you can.
Well, what would you suggest for me now? I'm 65 years old. And I'll be 66 in July, mm-hmm. and I would love to be able to do something about this.
You
anxiety.
Can free yourself.
The fibromyalgia is bad enough,
yep.
but the anxiety. Like,
you can free yourself of this. I'm telling you, I would suggest that you go and see Dr. Amen at the Amen Clinic and try getting a SPECT. You would see that the areas of your brain that are firing too hot are causing that anxiety, and they would be able to give you a medication to calm down that area of the brain. It's like your brain has solar flares that are shooting too hot. And how can you function when that's happening? So once they're able to cool that down, then you're able to go forward and even deal with that other part of the problem of fibromyalgia that
Did
you're
you
dealing with.
Did you spell his name?
Yeah, it's just like Amen, Jesus.
Amen.
Dr. Amen. A-M-E-N.
Right.
That's another problem I have is... But now, is that the same phone number, or would that be?
No, that's a different phone number. It's the Amen Clinic, A-M-E-N. Oh. It also is in Newport Beach, coincidentally.
Mm-hmm. And you can go on their website, Amen Clinics.
I don't have a computer, but do you have a number for this?
I do not, but just call directory assistance for the Amen Clinic
Amen
in Newport
Clinic
Beach.
Amen Clinic in Newport
mm-hmm.
Beach?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, you know how to reach us. Send me an email at talk@crawfordbroadcasting.com, and I'll make sure you get it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for
God
calling.
Bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anita. This is, I echo that. I think there's an enormous number of people in this population who have anxiety that is related to it, and it's an important thing. We'll continue with more right after this break. We're visiting with Marin Angelotti. We're talking about learning differences. 1-800-227-5278. Our lines have been full for most of this hour, but if you've tried to get in but couldn't, it's a good time to dial. We have an open line, 1-800-227-5278.
You're listening to Talk from the Heart.
KBRT, honoring our country.
My country believes in the worth of every person. I am an American.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
Crawford Broadcasting Company, for God and country.
Prayer is not a device for getting our wills done through heaven, but it is a device that God's will may be done on earth through us.
Dr. David Jeremiah, weekdays at 8 and 1 on AM 740, K-Bright.
KBRT, serving God.
Famous Christian quotes.
The Word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. A.W. Tozer.
KBRT, your Crawford Broadcasting Company, God and Country Station.
This is Talk from the Heart with Rich Buehler. To participate on today's program, call 800-227-5278. In the Orange County area, call 714-754-4150. The toll-free number again is 800-227-5278. When you call, please turn down your radio and get ready to talk from your heart with Rich Buehler.
This is Talk from the Heart. We're talking about a very, very important subject because it affects both the lives of adults and children. And Marin, one of the things I'm always glad with is adults who finally realize that this describes them. And it has a name, and it has steps that you can take to be able to deal with it in various ways.
It is. I love it. And the wonderful thing, too, for many of the parents or the adults that find out is they're scared when they first come and say, "Can you help me?" And then once we talk about it, they seem so relieved that somebody gets it.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Is that what that is?
Oh, it's been a lifetime of square pegging around hole.
That's it.
A lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And many, many adults, too, share the OCD problem. ADD can share a little bit of the OCD. I've had some adults that have a hard time getting started in the morning because they go through their rituals. And it's not crazy rituals. It just takes time.
Right.
So their time management is off, and that flows into the workday. And then one thing leads to the rest.
Very interesting. Let's go to Aurora in San Diego. Hello, Aurora.
Hi.
Hi, Aurora.
Yes, hi. I just called to ask a question. I noticed on a family member that he talks very fast. He's very young. He's about 15, and he's going to be 16 soon in a couple of months. And he sounds like he talks fast. It seems like he was diagnostic in a high school on the junior high to have a DDA. And I recently gave him a gift, like a musical instrument, and he sounds like he gets nervous every time he plays with it. And I just told him, don't worry about it. Just play and enjoy it, and whatever music you can catch up with it and enjoy it and have fun with it. And he says he likes that about music, and he would like to learn and more in his own, he says.
The music.
So what you recommend, that encourage him for music? Or?
Music is a huge calming factor for this population, and that's why we have a lot of musicians that have ADD, and they're wonderful. These are gifts that they're given. But again, make sure that his surroundings and his bedroom can be simplified.
Okay.
The more clutter they have, the more anxious they become. But the music is a real calming factor. So that is a good thing that you've given him that. If he's talking too much, that's a real big one for ADD.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the nature of the beast.
Yeah, but it's great for being a talk show host.
It sure is.
Okay. Can I have the number of that clinic?
You know what? Hold on just a minute. We'll give it to you off the air, okay?
Okay.
Hold on just a minute. This is talk. Whoops, I think I did the wrong thing. Let me see if I can get her back. Okay. Stephen, hi. You're on the air from Hermosa Beach.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Stephen.
I'm pretty excited to hear your guest speak because it describes me.
I hear you, Stephen. I can hear it. I can hear it, buddy. Relax. You're all good. I promise.
I've accomplished a lot, but it was always kind of a left-handed way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now 51 and I'm going through cancer treatment, and one of the medicines I was on, it amplifies all my emotions.
Oh wow, that's tough.
Yeah, and so I was just more or less just realized that I am dyslexic.
Uh-huh.
And boy, was that like a ton of weight off my shoulders.
That's right. I know it.
Now I know why, and that's how come, or now I know why.
Hey, were you able to read a book all the way through yet?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of hooked on one author, and I've read all of his stuff. But it wasn't one of my favorite things to do when I was in grammar. I'd love to do it, but when I was asked to read out loud, like in
sure.
third grade,
uh-huh.
I couldn't read out loud. And
I'm with you. That's exactly.
Humiliating.
Yeah, that was exactly what happened to me as well. I know your pain, but you know what the neat thing is as adult dyslexics, we do not have any ability to read for pleasure until we hit that adult time. I had the first book I read was 24 that I had was able to enjoy a book. And the reason that happens is that our brain creates new neural pathways for learning, and it creates it finally by that age of maybe 20 to 25. And so when we hear certain individuals in the entertainment field that say, I'm dyslexic, but suddenly I'm cured. You're not cured, but the new neural pathways have just completed. So I'm excited that you have found an author that you enjoy. Keep up that good work.
Well, thank you very much.
And Stephen, do a lot of research, do some Googling, contact the National Dyslexic Association, Newport Beach, and get some official evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I definitely would like to try.
I think you've got an exciting pathway ahead of you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you. And again, thank you for. I'm going to get your book. Speaking of reading,
You'll like it. I promise.
My daughter's going to be a teacher. She's going to school right now to be a teacher.
We need good certified academic language therapists. That's what I do, and I'm telling you, it's a field that's opening up. So if she has a compassion for children, this would be a wonderful area for her.
Her paper was on alternative learning.
Mm-hmm.
She realizes this. And it just need to be taught differently.
Have her contact me on the website. I'd love to talk with her. It's Of Different Minds.
Oh, let's do the website. What is it, your website?
OfDifferentMinds.com.
All right.
OfDifferentMinds.com. Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Steve. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Ah, see, that's the kind of call I'm excited about. There's somebody that, at the age of 51, is realizing something about himself for the first time.
Awesome.
And he's gonna read this stuff, and he's going to say, that's me, that's me, uh-huh. that's me, that's me.
And he will have that aha moment and make a difference.
That's right.
That's what it's about.
Thank you very, very much. This has been a wonderful hour, and we will love to have you back again. Maren Angelotti, the book is Of Different Minds. You can also visit her at ofdifferentminds.com. And some of the resources that you heard today that you'd like to get phone numbers for, I'm sure she'd be glad to give them to you through that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for each who's been with us. We'll look forward to visiting with you tomorrow, Lord willing, for more Talk from the Heart.